Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence and ESE Insight calling. What a surprise. Everyone wants to go to Italy. Coming up, who loves Eurovision? Taking over the charts? And can you show me the way to San Marino? Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to another Insight News podcast. I'm Ewan Spence in the chair, bringing you all the news from the world of the Eurovision Song Contest with the team from ESE Insight, all helping out in the back room as well. ESEinsight.com to find out more, read more about the Song Contest, pick up old podcasts and subscribe there so you never miss a show. Patreon.com/ESEinsight as well if you want to support us. Right then, Yes, it's 2 weeks after the contest. Italy still won. It's going to be a victory that I think is going to go up there with a euphoria moment. It's always going to be remembered. So let's look at that, but let's look at the wider successes as well. Recap. Italy won the Eurovision Song Contest 2021. Allora! Right then, okay, let's do viewing figures first of all, you know, because it turns out that we think people might like the Eurovision Song Contest. The numbers from around the world are in. The TV audience for this year's Song Contest is 183 million. Can't quite get the Magic Darts reference, but that extra 3 million, just, it's huge. The share of people watching was 40.5%. That's the number of people who could be watching television and were watching the Song Contest. And it's up at about 99% if you go to Iceland. Whoa. Anyway, that's compared to a typical May Saturday evening, which usually sees about 20% of market share there. And from the 15 to 24-year-old group, that's a 50% share, four times higher than your typical May. Now, those numbers will all include those who are watching live, but also presumably the plus seven numbers, people who've been watching later on demand through online services or who who taped it onto VHS and watched it in some retro throwback. I don't know. But anyway, anybody who watched it within 7 days will probably be in those numbers. We could see that number go up in late June when the plus 30 numbers come in as well. But for now, the press release, what's going to be able to be referenced in the likes of Wikipedia, 183 million. There are lots more numbers to the stats from individual broadcasters, online services and such like. But let's just pick out the numbers for the official YouTube channel. For the week leading up to the grand final, so the semi-finals with all the live footage going up and all the backstage interviews, the Nikki tutorials, Luke Labs, all of that brought in more than 50 million viewers to the official YouTube channel. Congratulations. Do you get the feeling people like the Eurovision Song Contest? Because I do. And just to magnify that, there's chart success as well. Obviously, most of the songs doing well in their own charts, not necessarily all of them. But I do want to pick up the United Kingdom here because Måneskin Zidia Bono is now in the UK top 20. That's the first Italian language song since Luciano Pavarotti's Nessun Dorma 29 years ago. And that got in there mostly because it was included as the opening theme to one of the football coverage of the big events on the BBC. Not only do we have Zidia Bono in there, but we have a second track from Måneskin's Tiro album, I Want to Be Your Slave. That looks like it's going to hit the top 20 this weekend as well. While I record this, it's still to be announced. It's probably going to be announced by the time you listen to that so you can find out. But we're looking at two smash hits from an Italian band from the Eurovision Song Contest in the UK charts. Do you get the feeling people like the Eurovision Song Contest? Because I sure do. And if that's not enough, three Eurovision acts in this year in the various Billboard charts. Måneskin, number 26. Barbara Pravi, number 70 with her entry from France. And Goa, the entry from Ukraine, at number 80. Also worth pointing out, Goa are also in the Hot Dance Electronic Songs chart at number 27. And the winner from 2019, Duncan Lawrence's Arcade, is in his 17th week in the Billboard charts there at number 37. Now, there is one tiny caveat to all of that. This is the Billboard excluding the US chart, but Billboard charts are Billboard charts. And that's what it says. There we go. Okay, third time. Everybody join in. Do you get the feeling that people like the Eurovision Song Contest? Okay, a couple of bits more to mop up. First of all, the live-to-tape show. Last weekend, the community got the chance to see what most of those backup performances that were recorded in March, in case a delegation couldn't make it onto the stage at Rotterdam for whatever reason. These were all put together in a special YouTube show that was broadcast on the official channel and hosted by Finland's Krista Siegfrieds. 37 of the 39 just-in-case performances were aired with tens of thousands of Eurovision fans tuning in. Why I say tuning in, whether we're typing in a URL, not quite sure. Old habits die hard. As an early look at the creative process, it was certainly interesting for those who like the behind-the-scenes elements, but it has meant that the last image of many of this year's performers was not their grand final performance, but an earlier vision of their staging. Personally, I think the United Kingdom's James Newman and Ireland's Leslie Roy made the right call in letting their final performance in Rotterdam stand, rather than looking at an earlier version of the staging. I've went into more depth on my thoughts now over at our Patreon page, so our Patreon supporters can read more on that at patreon.com/ESEinsight. Same URL if you want to find out more about supporting us. One nice feature on the official website this week is a profile of its three photographers at the event. Those photographs that you see on the main website, they're free to use by the press with accreditation, so you'll see a lot of their work on ESC Insight as well. So it's great to read again behind the scenes, and thank you from myself and probably many editors and writers to Nathan Rhines, Jordi Brada and Andres Pudding for all their work. Eurovision.tv, you'll be able to find out more and see all their work. Final little bit of housekeeping there. The rules for their being on a Eurovision jury state that jury members must be citizens of that country. And there was a little bit of a kerfuffle as Tonya Graves was sitting on the Czech jury because she's American. Given her extensive musical career in the Czech Republic, it's been confirmed by the broadcaster that the decision to include her was signed off by the EBU ahead of time. Again, it's one of those, well, extenuating circumstances. Let's be sensible about it. Sure, go ahead. So, everybody calm down. Let's look forward to 2022. And no, we don't have dates. Calm down. Neither do we have a city. But we do have more Italian cities putting in and floating the cap that they would quite like to host the Eurovision Song Contest next year. So the list we had last week: Bologna, Florence, Milan, Naples, Pesaro, Reggio Emilia, Rimini, Rome, Turin, Verona and San Remo. That's been added by two more. First one is that Bari has declared an interest in hosting. But the one that's really caught my eye is Mayor Marco Di Mao suggesting that Rimini would like to do a joint regional bid with San Marino. As always, if you want to make any bookings, be it flights, trains, provisional hotel bookings, do make sure they're fully refundable or you're prepared to lose their money. There's a lot to be decided and the amount. In terms of the contest, we're still sitting at 12 confirmed entries in public. No doubt more discussions have been going on in private. So we're still looking at Australia, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Israel, Italy, Netherlands, Norway, San Marino and Serbia. Right then, so Junior Eurovision is coming up as well. It's on December the 19th. It's in France, specifically it's in La Scène Musicale in Paris. Hashtag imagine for that. The entry list is slowly building up on that one. We have two broadcasters confirming they will not be at this year's contest, so Denmark and Latvia not returning then. In terms of news from the Junior Eurovision countries, first up, Germany. Selections have started there for their entry. Last year saw the country's very first appearance at Junior Eurovision, which was an internal selection. This year there will be public votes both online and it's a televised final on September the 10th. Junior Song Festival over in the Netherlands is their national selection show. It's currently in the selection audition phase. Broadcaster Avro Tros will be working there to get a long list and then a short list to confirm those who will be going forward to a live televised national final, and in their words, at some point in September. Similar story over in Poland. Selections for their Junior Eurovision entry are taking place this weekend. There'll be semi-finals and finals on the television. No air date on this, but given previous statements, previous organisation years and what we've already heard for 21, it does feel like we're going to see that one in September as well. Yeah. Flip got lots of sections, but they're all quite short this week. Okay, a couple of bits of news from around the Eurovision countries. First up, Cyprus, and a great example of why artists can use the Eurovision stage for their own career, to break out of their country and build a musical career. Not everybody manages it. So congratulations to Elena Sangriu, as El Diablo has been picked up by Sony Records for worldwide distribution. That's on top of the deal with Greece's Panic Records for local distribution. Måneskin, back to them again. They've claimed the all-time views record on the official Eurovision channel for a live performance video. Their winning performance, Zidi Bono, not even 2 weeks old, has passed the mighty Euphoria from Lorraine and Sweden. And as of recording, Italians have 46.8 million views. 50 million will probably be done during the next week. Germany, following its 25th place this year with Generic's I Don't Feel Hate, the head of delegation for the broadcaster, NDR, said that they are reviewing their selection process. This includes a 100-strong jury of the public as well as a smaller jury of professionals. This is a similar system to Switzerland, which has been at the other end of the score table for the last few years. So, you know, it's not just the method of selecting that's going on here, but as with all competitive events, after the event you want to sit down and see what you could have done better. Finally, congratulations to GOA's lead singer Katerina, who's been awarded the prestigious Ukrainian Woman of the Third Millennium Award. The song's mixing of modern sounds and Ukrainian folk music, as well as a positive image of Ukraine portrayed on the international stage, just some of the many citations for the award. Right then, and as we look at the long Eurovision summer, things do quiet down a little bit, so do please make sure that you are following our podcast feed, esinsight.com, and you'll find the links at the top and the bottom of this page, or just search for ESE Insight in your favourite podcast client. Over on the website, we're looking back at the 2021 selections to find out who found gold, but because of the cancellation, it also means we have to look back to the 2020 selections as well in part one, which is up on the website now. Part two should be up over the weekend or early next week. As mentioned over on Patreon, we have an article about the live to tape discussions and whether we should have been seeing that or not. And just keep an eye on us over the summer. We've got some great stuff lined up. Right then, dates wise, we've got a couple for your diary. Submissions for entries to a number of broadcasters will be closing in the summer periods. Norway closes on August the 15th, Netherlands on August the 31st, and Finland opens on September the 1st but closes on September the 6th. So if you want to represent those countries, find more details at their website and watch the deadlines. We have a national final in Germany, during Eurovision on September the 10th. Various others will be happening in September as well. During Eurovision itself, Sunday the 19th of December. And of course, the big date that everybody knows in the rulebook is September the 1st. Songs released after that date are eligible for the Eurovision Song Contest 2022. If you have a song that was available before then, it's not allowed to have a commercial advantage. So like if there's a demo on YouTube with 50 people who viewed it, that's great. If you decide you want to send Hey You Get Off On My Cloud by the Rolling Stones, that's got a commercial advantage, so you can't send that. Also, you'd have to sing it live as well, so you'd have to somehow get them there in a sort of Flo Rida-esque mystery. Anyway, there we go. Thanks so very much for your time and your ears. We'll be back again with a news podcast very, very soon. But for then and now, stay safe, be kind to each other, still be washing your hands, and ta-ra for now. Here are guitars. Catch you in the next week. This week's ESE Insight News podcast was hosted by Ewan Spence, written by Ewan Spence and the ESE Insight team. Find out more at www.eseinsight.com.